15 years ago, at the age of 13, Kirsty James was told that she would go completely blind. From then on, every morning, as she brushed her teeth, she wondered if it would be the last time that she saw her face in the mirror. Now, she struggled to digest this and to cope and come to terms with her diagnosis. She started seeing visions, which left her terrified that she wasn't just losing her sight, that she was actually losing her mind. But things weren't as they seemed in more ways than one. And Kirsty James joins us now. Hi, Kirsty.
Hello.
Good to speak with you. Now, you and I have something in common. You were diagnosed with Stargardt's macular disease, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I got my diagnosis when I was about 15 and I was told I'd go blind within the year and nothing we can do for you. That was a long time ago. Was it kind of similar for you?
Yeah, it was, yeah. But you don't really know what to expect. They don't explain back then. They didn't explain to you that what actual being registered blind means. It doesn't mean that you're going to be totally blind. Sort of just wait, don't you? It's a waiting game.
Well, that's it. And then what they told me was, well, we can't tell. Sometimes it goes quickly. Sometimes it doesn't. So you're left just basically watching and waiting to see what happens. How has it affected your sight then, Stargardt's?
So now I'm really fortunate that my Stargardt's has finished deteriorating. So I'm totally blind in my central vision. So I've got bits of my peripheral in the left eye, on the top and down the side. So I can still see, shapes of people, shapes of mountains. My brain sort of tells, because you've had sight, you know that those green blobs, oh, that's a tree. So it's like, it works together, I think. And now I can't see people's faces. Unless I'm up really close and I can see bits, I still couldn't see the colour of people's eyes, but I can sort of get a picture of somebody.
I remember I was going into places that were playing loud music and I was starting to find that I couldn't make out what people were saying, and I actually thought my hearing was going, and I got it checked, this is years ago, and they said, no, your hearing's fine. Realising that actually, because I couldn't see people's faces properly, I realised how much we actually lip read to hear. I don't know if you've ever found that at all.
Yeah, definitely. I completely agree with that. It's like overwhelming, actually, isn't it? It's like, rah, 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 rah. Like, that's why when you first lose that sort of sight, when people are talking in busy places, you can't make sense of it. But I think after time, you sort of learn just to focus on one person. You have sort of coping mechanisms. Well, I do anyway when I'm in pubs and things. It's just easier. Or I can just say, sorry, I just really can't hear you, and then seem to like find my own way.
Yeah, it's quite useful if it's something that's particularly boring, though, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. To be honest, yeah. Like, sometimes you can just you just look at somebody and you think, I have no idea what they've just said.
Now, you've got guide dog Bass. How has he changed your life?
Oh, tremendously, absolutely amazing. He came into my life when I wasn't leaving the house on my own. So he's got a lot of joy. He was able to work, able to get on a bus or like go to my local shop. It just fills me with a lot of confidence. It's not just like, it's not the guiding. I think it's the companion. So like if I go to a doctor's surgery for an appointment, they were places where I'd be anxious. My guide dog sort of calms that. Maybe I've got a focus.
I understand that because I love guide dogs. I think they're tremendous. Because I think it's very easy, actually, to start becoming isolated before you realise it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I remember when I went to my guide dog, you could go to, like, the guide dog centre for the day and met other people, and you had to say, what do you want from your guide dog? And I said, fun. And I tell you what, he certainly does bring me a lot of fun, because that's what I wanted back in my life, fun, rather than isolated. So, and, yeah, they laughed. They were just like, that's I don't think I've ever heard anyone say that before. But yeah, he definitely does bring a lot of fun and joy.
And also, strangely, it sometimes breaks the ice socially as well, doesn't it?
Oh, definitely. Because I'm a chatterbox and I've always been a chatty person. When I had my cane, I think that's probably why I was so upset, because people just all of a sudden would totally blank me. And this really like affected me. And I thought, right, I can't be bitter about this. It's just because people have a lack of awareness. And I found then having a guide dog really broke down those barriers of communication, and people were able to talk to the dog and then talk to me. And I think that's really helped my confidence grow and being able just to feel a part of society again.
Now, I mentioned at the beginning there how you were dealing with sight loss, but on top of that, tell us about the visions that you were getting. Do you still get them?
Yeah,
actually?
I still get them. To be honest, I think that was actually the hardest part of losing my sight was when Charles Bonnet started, because with that came anxiety and depression, amongst like me hallucinating. I just didn't really know where I was coming or going, to be honest, and I didn't tell anybody. And it just sort of, when I lived on my own then, in quieter places, it started to happen. But because I didn't have anybody to verbalise that to, and it affected my life. So I think at that point, that's when I started to have, somebody help me with my shopping and help me go into town. And I think it was more to do with the Charles Bonnet, really, than the Stargardt's disease.
So what kind of things do you envision then when you get one of these hallucinations?
So probably, this has probably happened to you. Imagine being in a meeting now. So you're at a meeting or a wedding or something. You're at a wedding, so you're sat on a circular table, but that distance is a little bit too far away to see those people's faces. So like faces will appear on their faces because my brain is trying really hard to fill in the gap. And then they could actually be like really scary faces, so like ghoul-like looking, or people I know, so people from my past and so childhood, so people don't really age. So my friend's face will always be her when she's 14. It's really peculiar. And then if I'm relaxing in my living room, these things still happen now, and you have like low-level light, just like yellowy light, and you're watching TV. If you've got a lot of visual clutter around, it can sort of start to morph and move, and colours start to come like a kaleidoscope. So how I stop that then is I just get up, turn the light on, or like close my eyes, or turn the TV to alter, sort of disturb the environment. Seems to help.
I find if I'm watching a television, from, like you say, from a bit too far away, a big television, and I'm watching it with a peripheral vision that I have, I actually find over time I'm watching a picture, I'm watching what's going on, and then I kind of look to the side and realise that I'm actually looking past the television now, and the pictures I am making up with my own head. It's quite frightening initially because you think, what on earth is going on here?
Yeah, you do, and that's when you don't really notice it, do you? And you think, when you become aware of your surroundings.
Yeah, another thing I find when it's dark and it's wet, if I'm outside walking or if I'm in a car, I sometimes see things on the road, a terrible fright. Luckily, I'm not driving, obviously. But things that I see there, like I might suddenly think we're driving straight into the back of a lorry. And there isn't anything there, but that's what I see in my vision, and it can give you real frights when you do that.
It does, yeah, and that's where the anxiety comes and builds, especially. And imagine if you're not talking about that, you're holding it in, and you're thinking you're living your life like that. And there's so many people who don't talk about it, and who don't even realise it's Charles Bonnet syndrome. This is why I wanted to help with Esme's umbrella and help her raise awareness. There's too many people are living in silence. When if you talk about it, and it can sort of rational, you know, your hallucinations become rational. You know then, you're like, right, that is hallucinating to this to reality, because the hallucinations are more vivid and brighter.
And to be clear, it's your brain basically working overtime to try and help where your vision's letting you down, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So when you lose, I think it's over 60% of your vision, your brain is trying to fill in the gap. So, and everybody's different, really. The flaws change. Things you find, like when the weather's sort of grim or lots of rain in, when your hearing is affected, that can affect your vision as well. That can make it really weird. Like gauge, especially when I was a cane user, to like gauge where I am in a street because of the sounds are different.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah, your points of reference on that. Tell me a little bit about Esme's umbrella then.
So Esme's umbrella is run by a lady called Judith Potts, and she has a helpline that people can contact any time of the day, and it's called Esme's Umbrella, and Judith will get back to them. And there you can talk and you'll have support with how to deal with Charles Bonnet syndrome. But they're also raising awareness and campaigning to find more researchers to investigate Charles Bonnet syndrome, why it's really happening. And also, they're unclear how many people are actually suffering with Charles Bonnet syndrome. So it's about kind of get that, the message out there to find out how many people are going through this.
And did it help you to talk to other people who are living with Charles-Bonnet syndrome?
Yeah, it did, definitely. There's to recognise that it is an eye condition. It's not a mental health issue. It is to do with your sight loss. And I think that was very humbling for me and able to sort of come to terms with it, I suppose. Now when it happens, like, I'm aware that I'm hallucinating. Although before Christmas, I spoke about this in my BBC article, about when I seen my guide dog, it was raining, and I thought my guide dog's paws were bleeding, and I screamed really loud. Now, they're things that don't happen very often, but still, because there's no awareness around Charles-Bonnet syndrome, it's quite hard to talk to the members of the public about. That, okay, yeah, I'm just hallucinating. Well, you associate hallucinating with mental health, but it's not. It's totally different.
Yeah, and I find when I wake up at first, especially if it's a bit dark, I sometimes can see nothing. And then suddenly I see something, I think there's somebody standing there. But it's happened so many times in my life now that, you know, I've thought somebody's standing there. I know at the back of my mind, look, this isn't real. Well, hopefully it's not real. And so far it has always not been real. You get to learn to live with it, and it's part of the journey then. It doesn't frighten you as much once you know what's going on.
Exactly. No, it doesn't. And I think, you know, at the time when I didn't know, that's when I was talking about my story, saying how terrified I am. Now I'm living with it. I'm living with sight loss and living with Charles Bonnet. And to me, it's actually a good thing as a gauge of my energy levels. If I'm tired and stressed, I know, okay, right, I need to slow down a little bit. I need to look after myself. So it taught me to look after my well-being, you know, meditate and practice Reiki. And I think that really helped me sort of ground myself and calm in. And it's helped in my vision, to be honest. Not healed it, so I'm not saying that, but just sort of relaxing. That is, I think, has stabled it.
Yeah, and you come to terms with it, don't you?
That's what I mean. Yeah, I can. I'm just like, I forget that I've got sight loss now when I get up. You know, it could go like a couple of weeks and without realizing. I'll just get up, and then I've left the house actually without my cane. I'm like, oh yeah, I forget. I actually need a cane. I'm like, but that's where I'm at now in my life, and it's actually been a really, really good thing, me losing my sight. It would never met all the amazing people in my life, and you know, all the opportunities, my career, everything.
Yeah, it's not like saying that sight loss is a good thing, but good things have come from it, isn't it, that you would never have experienced.
Character building, definitely.
Kirsty James, it's been an absolute pleasure to chat with you, and it's a rare thing for me to actually ever meet somebody that's got the same condition as I have, so it's been actually a pleasure to chat with you. Thank you very much for joining us.
That's all right, thank you. It's nice to chat to you too.